Hello and welcome to The Music and the Movies, a program that looks at and listens to the sweet spot where music and movies intersect. In this hour, we ponder the special alchemy that happens when sound meets image, where music lovers and cinephiles come together. We explore a different theme in each episode, arranged around an idea or a person, and we delve into why some of our favorite movie moments are also musical ones. My name is Robert Horton. I'm a movie critic and historian and a member of the National Society of Film Critics. I'll play some music and talk about it in an attempt to get to the bottom of a lifelong fascination with why film is so especially intoxicating when music is involved. And at the end of each show, I'll round things off with the trailer, a particular cut that either didn't fit into the overall flow or has some special meaning to me or just so weird it deserves its own spot. So join us, won't you, for The Music and the Movies. Today's episode, Best Score Oscar Nominations for 2022. We've done this the last couple of years. Take a listen to the five films nominated in the Best Original Score category at the Academy Awards. And I found this to be a lot of fun because it really forces me to sit down and listen to the music from the movies. Movies that are still fresh in my mind, but music that might not have stood out to me because I was just seeing the film for the first time. And of course, for so many movies, we're not really meant to notice the music. It's supposed to be part of the seamless whole. Maybe it doesn't stand out by design. Or sometimes it does. That's what makes thinking about music in movies fun. In any case, today we consider five films and give a listen to healthy segments of their scores. Everything Everywhere All at Once, All Quiet on the Western Front, The Banshees of Inisherin, Babylon, and The Fabelmans. And then for the trailer at the end of the show, we'll pick out a needle drop tune from one of those titles to give us a little zany punctuation mark on the subject. So let's begin in a multiverse of madness, thanks to Everything Everywhere All at Once, the frantic concoction of the directing partners Dan Kwan and Daniel Scheinert, in which an apparently ordinary Asian-American family find themselves drawn into the realization that they are somehow involved in some huge intrigue taking place in the multiverse and that the character played by the great star Michelle Yeoh must trip through different verses to save humanity or something like that. So the film gives us a head-spinning series of transitions through these different parallel worlds, all goosed along by the very inventive score assembled by Sun Lux, a three-person unit. I'll talk about them in a minute, but first let's hear a good chunk of their music from early in the action of Everything Everywhere All at Once. This is a cue titled Very Busy. Thank you. from the Oscar-nominated score for Everything Everywhere All at Once. That is a cue titled Very Busy, a title that could describe the entire film, composed by Sun Lux. This film was one of the few non-blockbuster, non-sequel, non-remake movies of 2022 that really caught on with audiences. And I had fun with it, although I can't say I was as enchanted as many viewers, even as I treasured the elegant presence of Michelle Yeoh and the wonderfully understated turn by Ke Huy Quan, an actor whose career had slowed down considerably since his childhood performances in Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom and The Goonies. Both of those performers were Oscar-nominated, as were castmates Jamie Lee Curtis and Stephanie Hsu. Sun Lux, an experimental music trio made up of Ryan Lott, Rafiq Bhatia, and Ian Chang, composed a huge amount of music for this film, and they mixed in various collaborators along the way, including kind of unlikely people, maybe, such as Randy Newman, who also does the voice of a robot raccoon, by the way, in the film, because why not? Here's a track featuring guest performer Andre 3000, or Andre Benjamin, if you prefer. He plays flute on this cue, Pinky Fight. That's another track by Sun Lux from Everything Everywhere All at Once. Two other notable collaborators contribute vocals to one of the songs from the film, and it is an Oscar nominee in the Best Song category. Let's hear This Is a Life with vocals by the Japanese-American singer Mitski and David Byrne.
At the speed of light, this
That is a song called This Is a Life, from the Oscar-nominated soundtrack of Everything Everywhere All at Once by Sun Lux, and that song is also nominated in the Best Song category. It's composed by Ryan Lott, Mitski, and David Byrne. You're listening to The Music and the Movies. I'm Robert Horton. We are considering Oscar-nominated scores from the movies of 2022, and we're going to move now to our second Oscar-nominated score. What a different kind of experience this is from our first film, a German production of All Quiet on the Western Front, also nominated for Best Picture and a handful of other awards. Quite an Oscar pedigree here, you could say, because a previous film version of this classic book was the Best Picture Oscar winner in 1930. A harrowing look at the trench warfare of the First World War and a study in disillusionment when soldiers discover that their idealized vision of the glories of battle are nothing like the grueling reality. This film is certainly uncompromising in its vision. The score is appropriately large by the veteran German composer Volker Bertelmann. Here's something to get us in the film's ominous mood. As you will hear, Bertelmann uses very modern kinds of sounds, as though to make the point that war is always war, whatever the technology of the moment might be. All Quiet on the Western Front is one of the greatest of all anti-war properties, from the novel by Erich Maria Remarque to the first film version that we mentioned in 1930, and the horror of war is well captured in Bertelmann's new score. This is a cue called No End. stern sounds of All Quiet on the Western Front, composed by Volker Bertelmann. We've heard some of his work before on this show. I played something from his score for the period piece Ammonite, very intriguing British film on a much more intimate scale than his current project. He also performs as a pianist under the stage name Hauschka, which I don't think is a reference to former Seahawk kicker Steven Hauschka, but you never know. Here's a somewhat different, a less forceful track titled Comrades. More music from All Quiet on the Western Front. Oscar-nominated music, and very poignant indeed, from All Quiet on the Western Front, composed by Volker Bertelmann. That movie is also nominated in the Best International Feature Film category. But the notable thing is how many other categories it got nominated in, 9 in total, including Best Picture and Adapted Screenplay. That is a remarkable showing for a foreign language film. It was one of the biggest surprises of the Oscar nominations, although I think not such a surprise if you've seen it. It is the kind of very straightforward movie that Oscar voters tend to like. A more mysterious property comes to us in The Banshees of Inisherin. which also got 9 Oscar nominations, including, of course, for its score, composed by Carter Burwell. This film was written and directed by Martin McDonagh, who teams up again with his leading men from the masterpiece In Bruges, Colin Farrell and Brendan Gleeson, in a very peculiar story about life on an Irish island in the 1920s and a friendship that breaks off because one man decides he doesn't want to fritter away what he has left of his existence on this earth, listening to the observations of his sincere but terribly dull pal. One thing that McDonagh and Burwell have talked about is that they did not want the customary Irish folk music soundtrack, even though part of the plot does revolve around the making of that kind of music. In fact, we hear Gleeson's character, a fiddler, playing in the local pub. Instead, the soundtrack provides something slightly vaguer, more universal, maybe, in its sound. Well, let's hear an example. In a track titled My Life Is On Inishirin. That is music from Carter Burwell's score for The Banshees of Inishirin, and perhaps from hearing that, you can kind of get this argument I would make that the movie, while it undeniably exists on an Irish island, also exists in a kind of imaginary zone where the breaking up of a friendship shifts from an everyday rupture to a truly bizarre play in which one character takes the step of threatening to mutilate himself if the other doesn't mind his own business. For Brendan Gleeson's character, the turning point is his apparently sudden realization of his own mortality, an awareness that there are only so many hours left and that he might spend those hours creating music, something perhaps that will outlive his otherwise unremarkable life. The film is a comedy, and it is very funny, but this grave concern is always there, and music, therefore, means a lot to this film. Carter Burwell, the composer for so many Coen Brothers movies, captures some of this off-center quality here in a couple of cues we'll listen to. First, a somewhat bright-sounding track titled Walking Home Alone, and then a darker version of the same musical figure in a cue called Calm Throws the Balance. This is more music from the Banshees of Inisherin. You can hear how Carter Burwell anchors the Banshees of Inisherin with his music. Although the film's very funny, he creates a melancholy that darkly runs beneath the humor. The main theme there, you could hear repeats in both of those pieces, and some of the repetition in the soundtrack, I think, might be there to suggest the repetitive nature of life on an island marked by the sameness of every day. Perhaps one thing that's driving Brendan Gleeson's character a little bit crazy. You're listening to The Music in the Movies. I'm Robert Horton. We're talking about Oscar-nominated soundtracks of 2022's films. Brendan Gleeson, by the way, plays the fiddle himself in this movie. He's nominated for the Best Supporting Actor Oscar. Also nominated for acting are Colin Farrell, Carrie Condon, who plays Farrell's very patient sister, and Barry Keoghan, who plays a character who comes on at first like the village fool, but seems less foolish as the film goes on. In fact, turns out to be quite a heartbreaking figure. Keoghan, just a few short years as an actor, has become one of the best character actors around. The fourth nominated score is from Babylon. And this puts me in an awkward position because although I generally manage to see pretty much everything that's in the running for the Oscars, this year was a little different and I have not yet seen Babylon, a 3-hour opus about the early days of Hollywood. It's on my list, I swear, but this movie has inspired quite a bit of critical pushback during its release, not just from critics who don't care for the movie that much, but also from some film historians who've complained that the movie exaggerates or even slanders some real-life figures from the Hollywood of the 1920s and 30s. The film is from the director Damien Chazelle, for whom music has been a very important element. I reviewed his first feature, actually, the micro-budgeted student movie called Guy and Madeline on a Park Bench, which was a bona fide musical, a very unusual little film. I wrote this about it when it was released in 2009. Director Damien Chazelle has created a curious but winning little movie here. It's somehow a blend of old-school Hollywood musical, gritty John Cassavetes-style urban jazz, the lead actors could have stepped out of Cassavetes' beat-era film Shadows, and modern indie mumblefest. If all of that doesn't entirely ignite, well, it was worth trying. My head tells me the film's different pieces and its thin slices of storyline don't quite cohere, but anybody in the mood for a bop off the beaten path might take to its blend of grit and whimsy. Well, I think you might almost say that about Chazelle's increasingly prominent follow-ups, Whiplash, which was also about music, and La La Land, which was a stab at making an old-fashioned musical. The connecting factor in these projects was the composer, Justin Hurwitz, who was Chazelle's roommate at Harvard and has done the music for all of his films, rewarded with 2 Oscars for Best Score and Song for La La Land. Hurwitz is nominated again this year for Babylon, and we will play the soundtrack album's opening number, which promises a raucous tour of Hollywood past in a cue called Welcome. Spirited Music from Babylon, composed by Justin Hurwitz, who had to come up with a very large amount of music for a movie that goes over 3 hours. Soundtrack album alone runs over 90 minutes. Here's a chunk of that from a different sounding section of the film titled Hearst Party, which, as you will hear, uses Ravel's Bolero as its inspiration. a bolero there from Babylon, composed by Justin Hurwitz. You're listening to Music and the Movies. I'm Robert Horton, talking about the Oscar-nominated Best Scores of 2022. You know, Justin Hurwitz was born in 1985, and I wondered, how many Oscar nominations did John Williams have by then? And, okay, I did a rough count, actually, and it was 21. He was already well into it. And yes, John Williams, who will be 90 by the time the Oscar ceremony rolls around, is back this year because Steven Spielberg is back this year. And Spielberg likes his main man very much. This is a collaboration that includes Jaws, Close Encounters of the Third Kind, E.T., and so many others. The new movie is The Fabelmans, Spielberg's slightly fictionalized look back at his own childhood as a movie-crazed kid in a family that was gradually breaking up. I admired this film very much, even if I wondered at times whether I would be as interested in it if I didn't know the main character would grow up to be Steven Spielberg. But maybe that's the point. One of the dominant figures in this scenario is Spielberg's mother, played in the film in a brilliant and unusual performance by Michelle Williams. Her character is named Mitzi, and she is a kind of a frustrated performer, someone who comes alive when her son's camera is pointed at her. That's a situation a psychoanalyst might have a field day with, I think. In one memorable scene, Mitzi pulls focus by dancing, and John Williams composes this pretty and also haunting melody called Mitzi's Dance to accompany that moment. That is Mitzi's Dance, music by John Williams from The Fabelmans. This is a relatively brief score for Williams and Spielberg, especially by contrast to some of those other selections we were talking about. We were saying earlier that Justin Hurwitz was borrowing a bit from Ravel in Babylon, and I think in The Fabelmans, John Williams looks toward the music of Eric Satie for a lovely musical cue that comes in and out of his score, expressed here in a piece called The Letter. Thank you. music from The Fablemans, composed by John Williams in a lyrical vein. An interesting twist to Williams' work here when you think about how long he's worked with Steven Spielberg, starting 50 years ago, 1973, when the very young director first met Williams about scoring the Sugarland Express, which was released in 1974. So, you know, think about it. John Williams not only met Spielberg's parents over those years, but actually got to know them through all that time, and here he is writing music about characters based on people he knew himself. Perhaps that accounts for how sincere and tender the music is, a personal connection that goes well beyond the usual director-composer connection. And our trailer music allows us to take a break from this serious film soundtracking and play something absurd. It's from The Fablemans, which is a period piece of the 1950s and 60s that includes the music that was on the radio at the time. And there's one sequence in which the young Sammy Fableman, that's the Spielberg stand-in, is filming his high school classmates during a beach outing. As in so much of the film, we watch a filmmaker being born, someone who sees and interprets the world through his lens. But Spielberg chooses a ridiculous pop tune to liven up this scene. It's from the relatively brief singing career of James Darren, a movie and TV actor, someone I always kind of enjoyed, who fell into a singing career when he played Moondoggy in Gidget and ended up crooning the title song. The tune you're about to hear actually reached number 3 in the pop charts, and it is titled Goodbye, Cruel World, and I think you'll hear why it is absurd enough to decorate a spirited scene in The Fablemans.
To join the circus, gonna be a broken-hearted clown. Paint my face with a good-for-nothing smile, cause a mean, fickle woman turned my whole world upside down. Farewell to love, I'm off to join the circus. Gotta find a way to hide my tears. Bet I'll have them rolling in the aisle, and I'll forget that woman if it takes 100 years. Oh, ho, ho, step right up and take a look at a fool. He has got a heart as stubborn as a mule. Come on, everybody, he is good for a laugh, and no one could tell his heart is broken in half. Well, the joke's on me, I'm off to join the circus. Oh, Mr. Barnum, save a place for me. Shoot me out of a cannon, I don't care. Let the people point at me and stare. I'll tell the world that woman, wherever she may be, that mean, fickle woman made a crying clown out of me.
Yeah, that song is Goodbye, Cruel World, performed by James Darren and included in Steven Spielberg's film The Fablemans. And I'm sorry about the earworm there, but believe it or not, that tune went to number 3 on the pop charts in 1961. It was written by Gloria Shane Baker, whose most famous composition was the Christmas perennial Do You Hear What I Hear? Well, that concludes our survey of the 5 Oscar-nominated film scores for movies released in 2022. I think we will return with a program of great 2022 soundtracks that were not nominated, because there's some good stuff there. We'll go out today with more from Carter Burwell's score for the Banshees of Inisherin, this cue titled The Mystery of Inisherin. I'm Robert Horton, and I thank you for listening to The Music and the Movies.